time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. We are talking about tolerant Jesus, all-inclusive Jesus, the Jesus that our culture has manufactured in their minds. It's not just the left. It's not just the right. It's the church who has created this Jesus who really doesn't care about your sin. You just come to him and he just accepts you as you are, no conditions whatsoever. Now, let me make one thing perfectly clear. There is nothing that you or I can do to better our status before God. I don't care if you're the worst alcoholic, you're a serial killer. You can stop doing all that and still go to hell. That's not what saves us, is quote unquote cleaning up our lives. Okay? But there is a condition for coming to Christ. And we're looking at a couple of those examples. I want to cover a couple more here and then wrap this thing up here. Now, the idea that Jesus Christ is this all-inclusive Savior, and that's why nothing, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be homosexual, you can be transgender, you can be, you know, you can be for the slaughter of babies. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves us all. He accepts us all as we are. Wrong answer, according to the Bible, because as I said, there are certain conditions that must be met for Christ to accept us into his family, into heaven. Now, does he love us? Yes, he loves us. That's why he wants us to come to our senses. But do you remember, there are many cases in the Bible where he did not accept people, okay? He doesn't accept people. And one category of those people were the religious leaders, the Pharisees of his day. And, well, let me tell you something. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus lays down this excoriating rebuke of the Pharisees. And you would think if anybody gets in heaven, it's going to be the ones who are keeping all the rules, right? Not so. Jesus goes on to rebuke them. He calls them blind guides. He calls them sons of hell. He calls them fools and blind men over and over again, by the way. He calls them hypocrites, blind guides again, more hypocrites. He tells them more hypocrites, keeps calling them hypocrites over and over again. And then he calls them serpents, brood of vipers. And he tells them, you're not going to escape hell. Tolerant, inclusive? No. Okay, you say, well, wait a minute. Okay, I can understand. Those guys were the religious bigots of their day. They're kind of like Christians, you know, far right wing Christians of today. Excuse me, these people that believe the Bible literally. That's who Jesus. So Jesus, if he was here today, he would tell all these right-wing Christians, they're the ones that are going to hell, right? Well, maybe not. The question is, what's in the heart? And these guys, Jesus said, you're like whitewashed tombs. You know, you're saying some of the right things on the outside. There ain't nothing going on that's good on the inside. Well, let's transition a little bit. Let's get more to the examples that people use sometime. What about Matthew chapter 9? Do you remember Matthew chapter 9 when Matthew throws a party? Presumably Matthew throws a party for Jesus and in his house. And it's, the Bible says that many tax gatherers who were the scum of the earth in those days, IRS agents, anyway, and sinners. And that was just a catch-all term, you know, referring to all kinds of evil people of the day. It says they were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Okay, there it is right there. Jesus is all-inclusive. It doesn't matter what you're doing that the Pharisees would say you're wrong about, right? So here's a person who's living in sexual sin or whatever. It's okay. Pharisees say it's wrong, but Jesus is having dinner with them. So therefore, it must be okay, right? So here's the where the thinking gets twisted in our culture. We think that because Jesus is with people, that he is condoning the lifestyles and the condition of their hearts. and their view about God and life and sex and relationships and everything else. That's a false assumption. You're leaping a chasm here to make that. How do we know that? Well, because of what Jesus says next. Jesus doesn't say, well, of course I'm hanging out with them. They're all going to heaven. He didn't say that. You know how he responds to them? In verse 12 of Matthew 9, he says, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. So Christ acknowledges the fact that these people are sick. They're sick in sin. These sinners, these tax gatherers, they're not okay. I'm not tolerating them and their sin. I'm not including them in the kingdom of heaven. They're sick and they need to get well, and I am the great physician. That's what he's saying. So there's no inclusivity here in terms of Christ letting these people into heaven and saying, oh, you're okay. None of zero. And it's just the opposite. He's saying they're not going to heaven unless they let me make them well. And if I make them well, then they're no longer sick. What does that mean? Well, they're no longer doing the things that they're doing. They're no longer the people that they used to be. See, Jesus was showing compassion to these people by telling them they were sick. In our world today, they don't say it's an act of compassion when you call out people's sin. They call it an act of hatred and bigotry. Wow. And homophobia and xenophobia and all kinds of other phobias. If you just simply say, well, that's not right. I mean, it's even down to the secular level today, where I read this past week of a mother in England who told her children that the transgender man, the man who was pretending to be a woman in front of her children, was in fact not a woman, but a man. They put her in jail for that. She went to jail for that. Fines in America for not using the correct pronoun. Wow, this is where we are. And they're only going to fight more for that agenda, by the way. They're not going to just die off and go off into the sunset. You know, well, we tried to make them treat us like we want to be. No. No, Jesus said, no, they're sick. These people are sick. These sinners are sick. Okay. What about the woman in Luke chapter 7? And this woman comes to Jesus in Luke 7, and he says in verse 36, it says one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. So Jesus entered the Pharisee's house. So here's Jesus entering the tax gatherer's house for dinner. Now he's going to the Pharisee's house for dinner. The liberal crowd won't like Jesus having dinner with the Pharisees because, you know, the Pharisees are the bad guys, right? But there he is. And it says, behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. We're assuming, making assumptions here. I mean, he doesn't, you know, tell us exactly what that word means, but it's assumed that she had a really bad reputation. Okay, let's put it that way. It says, when she learned that he was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, standing before him at his feet, and weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kissing his feet and anointing them with her perfume. The Pharisees were incensed and a Pharisee said to himself privately, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman that is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus turns to this guy and he absolutely just gives him a new opportunity to understand reality and what God's really all about. And he basically tells a story of, you know, people that are forgiven much will love much. People are forgiven little will love little. And what's the point of that? The point of that, Jesus was saying, is that, catch this now, the greater a person realizes their need for Jesus, and how do they realize their need for Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16 tells us that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. So we have to be convicted that we are sinners and that our lives are wrong, that we're ruined, we're broken. So all these sinners that are coming to Jesus, one characteristic that we're seeing about them is that they have a perspective about themselves that the examples that we see in the world today, when people say, oh, Jesus accepted everybody, those people don't have this perspective. They're not broken before Jesus, crying out for mercy and grace from him because they need salvation. No, they're coming to this whole conversation saying, no, I'm fine like I am. I can be in my sin as long as I want to, and Jesus will still accept me. That's not what we see in the scripture, ever. And Jesus says this woman's sins have been forgiven because she has expressed great love towards me out of a heart of forgiveness, of wanting to be forgiven. She realized that she was ruined. And so she came to Jesus to offer him everything she had. That's not the example we get from culture today when they say Jesus was inclusive and tolerant. Every sinner that comes to Jesus who is repentant, as we'll talk about in just a little bit, he receives. He includes. But it's on the basis of their understanding of their sin and of their need of him, period. Okay? She recognized her sin. The Pharisees in this story did not recognize their sin. Therefore, guess what? Door closed, you don't get in. And as we saw earlier in Matthew chapter 23, they're not going to heaven. What about in Luke, in this same passage, Luke chapter 7, earlier in verse 24, Jesus is quoting the Pharisees, and he says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a drunkard, and a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. See, that's one of the greatest verses there that's cited to kind of sort of prove this point. Oh, he's a friend of tax. He is a friend of them, a friend in the sense that he's come to offer them help for their situation. That's what a friend does. You see, when we call out sin in the world, we offer salvation to people, that's being a friend. That's not being a hater, a bigot, homophobe. That's not being, you know, someone who is, you know, deserves to be mocked and you know, all this vilification on social media and this vitriol talk that people, this horrible, horrible, destructive talk that Christians get when they stand up for truth and for morality. No, that's what a friend does. We're not hating. We're being a friend. We're being a good neighbor. A good neighbor says you're about to get bit by a snake. A good neighbor says there are mines in that field. Don't walk there. A good neighbor says your house is on fire. That's what a good neighbor says. Jesus was being a good neighbor. He's being a friend by befriending them and saying, hey, I just hung out with a bunch of prostitutes and gluttonous people and drunkards and all these stuff for the purpose of just hanging out with prostitutes and gluttonous people and drunkards. Just wanted to hang out with them. No, no influence here. I'm not going to be Jesus while I'm with them. I'm just going to hang out with them and be in the same room so that they will know they don't need to do anything to go to heaven. They simply need to just be in the same room with me. That's it. But that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Let me give you one more passage here as we kind of start to wrap this thing up. In Luke 5, just a couple of pages earlier, and verse 32, this is what Jesus says here. There's so many other examples we could use here, but I'm just going to give you a couple of them here. In Luke 5, and this is the parallel passage to the Matthew 9 passage here, when Jesus came into Matthew's house and that kind of thing. It says in verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous. So in other words, I'm not here for people who think they're already righteous. Okay. But here's why I'm here. Here's why I'm with sinners. Here's why I'm with the gluttonous. Here's why I'm with the tax gatherers. Here's why I'm with the prostitutes. Here's why I'm with the drunkards. Here's why. But to call sinners to repentance. That was his mission. Now, did he show love to them? Yes, of course he did. Did he heal some of their diseases? Did he raise some of their children from the dead? Did he deliver some of them from demons? Did he provide food for them who were hungry? Of course he did. The purpose of that was not just so that he could do those things, but so that he could call them to repentance. Why? Because repentance is a condition for salvation. That's why. That is why. So, Jesus was not just indiscriminately tolerant and all-inclusive of everyone. And, you know, people say, well, would Jesus today accept a homosexual? Well, he would accept a homosexual in terms of being just a person. He accepts him as a person, that you're a real person, but you're sick. You're a sick person that needs a physician. And Jesus is the physician. So will I accept you into heaven? Well, not until you repent and recognize your need and that you are broken and that you're messed up. When you recognize that, yes, you can come to me. How about a Muslim? Of course, Jesus will accept a Muslim into heaven if that Muslim repents of his sin and turns to exclusivity and trusting in Jesus Christ by faith alone, through grace alone. Will Jesus accept a self-righteous, right-wing, true bigot, racist? Yes, he will. If that racist will confess his sin of racism to Jesus and the fact that he needs Jesus for salvation to deal with his sin problem on the inside, not just racism, but the fact that he is a sinner, that he needs Jesus, he'll accept all those people on the condition that they come to him and recognize their need for him, that they cannot come to him on their own terms. See, that's where our culture is. We want to come to Jesus on our own terms. Secondly, we want to come to Jesus in our culture and remain the same, continue in our sin. And the third thing is, we want to come to Jesus and be unwilling to bow our wills to him and to allow him to be in charge of our lives. Yeah, we want to come to Jesus, but on our own terms. Jesus says, it doesn't work that way. You don't think so? Read Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and following, where Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple unless you are willing to do these things. Today, if Jesus Christ walked the earth among the liberal left-leaning crowd, would they embrace him? They would look at, oh, Jesus is here. Oh, this is fantastic. This is great. Yeah. And he would hang out with all of them. Jesus would hang out with transgenders. Of course he would. Jesus would hang out with homosexuals and drunkards and religious people and Christians and non-Christians. Yeah, he'd do all those things. The condition, though, for those who have not been changed by his power, the condition would be you repent of your sin and come to me. So there is a condition. So what would they do to him when he demanded that? Would they say, oh, you're still the greatest tolerant and close inclusive Jesus that we know? No. They would mock him. They would vilify him. They would label him a bigot. They would call him a homophobe, a xenophobe. He would be destroyed on social media. He would be hated and probably assassinated, crucified again. You see, Jesus Christ only had one earthly ministry. It'll never happen again. The next time the world sees him, he's going to be riding a white horse of victory. And instead of tolerance and inclusivity, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 19 that he is going to slay millions with the breath of his mouth. See, Jesus doesn't bend his will or alter his identity just to relate to us. He doesn't reinterpret God's word in order to accommodate our culture's changing morals and beliefs and lifestyles. No. Jesus Christ is who he is. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden with the guilt of your sin and the guilt of trying to get to me some other way, and I will give you rest. Jesus says in John 6:37, he who comes to me, I will never cast away. But you got to come to him on his terms. And when that happens, something amazing occurs. A transformation occurs on the inside. He makes us into a brand new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. And Ephesians 1:6 tells us that we are now, you ready for this word? Accepted in the beloved. Accepted. There's the inclusivity there. There's the tolerance. There's the wrapping his arms around us. So if you want to be accepted by Jesus, just come to him on the terms that he sets and you'll be accepted. Tolerant, inclusive Jesus. Wow. Hey, that's all for now. I'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.